going on. He looks so high and mighty up there. We're all impressed. And many times we can find ourselves in the same place. Life looks good, maybe to somebody outside. Maybe it's smoke and mirrors. Maybe it's just image. But the reality is that we are sinking. And we're just making it. And we're just staying above water when life is really sinking. So welcome to Seneca Community Church for a feel-good, joyful message this morning as we move into Easter season, Passion Week, Holy Week. We're beginning a new four-part series. We're going to today, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, of course, and then the following Sunday. We're going to be looking at some things that Jesus never said. Jesus never said that. And this morning, we're looking at the idea, if you forgive, God will forgive you. Now, at some glance and some passages you're recalling, those of you who are familiar with the Newer Testament, you're going, wait a minute, I get the idea that he says, I need to forgive, and then God forgives me. We're going to unpack that a little bit and see what is going on. Now, we're going to need to remember this is Palm Sunday. The people sang Hosanna, which means God save us now. So when you hear those words, when you sing those words, you're singing God save us now. And so the people in Jerusalem, when Jesus came in that little colt, led in, the palms were waving, they were dropping their cloaks, all that was going on, they were celebrating the arrival of a king. And if you look at Older Testament passages, the idea of coming in on a donkey that had never been used pointed to a king. And so all that is going on, all that imagery, and they're saying, save us. We need to be saved. And they're going to unpack, as we talk about the rest of this week, they're thinking, save us from the Romans. Save us from the Romans. Get rid of the Romans. And we're going to see that it was completely different when it came to what Jesus was coming for. So when they're talking about saving us and going on and on about that, we realize that, again, this Hosea passage, those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, grant us salvation now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what they're thinking. This is what they're doing. And again, everybody needs saving at some time. We could look at Jack Sparrow. There's a scene where they're getting ready to hang him, and he needs saving. And Jack Sparrow, you know, he's a pirate. He probably is a bad guy. He's up to no good. He's a scallywag. He's, you know, all these kinds of things, always crossing the, you know, living on the edge, doing things that aren't the best. So, yeah, he needs saving. But also does Elizabeth need saving? And you remember in the scene where she's talking with the guy who wants to marry her, and she's got her little corset, I guess you'd call that, so tight that she can't breathe. She falls off this water wall into the water, and, you know, Jack Sparrow, it's kind of funny, you know, Captain Sparrow, Sparrow's small bird, but anyway, but, you know, he thinks he's hot stuff, and he dives in and saves her. So you've got the person that we would think needs saving, and then you've got Elizabeth, who's refined and a part of society and all of this, but she needs saving. And this is this idea that all of us need some kind of saving. When Jesus was born, when he was promised, and Joseph was wrestling with that, and an angel came to Joseph, we read this verse. It says this, she will give birth to a son. This is the angel speaking to Joseph. You are to give him the name Jesus, which is really the name Joshua. So when you see Joshua in the Old Testament, it's the same name as Jesus. We've just adjusted it for English. Because he will save his people from their sins. So it wasn't saving them from the Romans, which would have been great, but it was saving them from their sins. And when we talk about sins, there's all kinds of imagery that comes into mind. There's also a marksman, an archery term, missing the mark. So when we sin, we miss the mark that God has for us. Many of us, well, not many of us, hopefully all of us can see places in our life where we're selfish and where we miss the mark and where we sin. I was talking with someone this week. You don't have to train your kids how to be selfish. They somehow know how to do that. It's hardwired into us all the way back from the days of Adam and Eve. So we need to be saved from our sins because God is a holy God and can't have that. So instead of writing us off, instead of saying, I have no room for you, you guys are mess up, he provides a way, and we're going to see that as we move through this week of Easter. There's a chapter in Romans, chapter 3, that really walks us through this idea of needing salvation from our sins. And I'm just going to read this to you. It's Romans 3:25. This is out of the New Living Translation. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. We read on, the sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in his present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. And so when we think about being saved, when we think about Hosanna, God save us now, maybe immediately we want to be saved through certain situations like the people of Israel. They wanted to be saved from the Romans. But Jesus, God, is thinking long term. He wants to save us from our sins. And a part of that process is understanding that we need forgiveness. And then in turn, we offer forgiveness to others. C.S. Lewis, the writer of the stories Narnia, writes this. He says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a wonderful idea. I mean, you think about it. I love when people forgive me, when people let it go, when they say, that's okay. I will not hold that against you. And what C.S. Lewis says is this, the next little line here, until they have to forgive someone, until they have something to forgive. So we all love the idea of forgiveness when we're receiving it, but when we have to give it out and hand it out to somebody else, not so much. In Matthew, when Jesus describes what prayer is about, he includes this idea when he says, and forgive us our debts, that's our sins in the Aramaic culture. Sins automatically created a debt, so that's why we have this, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So we're saying, God, forgive us of our sins, our debts that we create, and Jesus takes care of that through the death, burial, and resurrection. And then also Jesus says, as we also have forgiven our debtors, those that have sinned against us. And what's interesting about this is basically Jesus is saying, when you and I experience forgiveness, when God sets our life right with him, we in turn, and I want to use the word ought because I want to soften it, but it's not ought, we are to forgive those who have sinned against us. And this statement is basically saying, pray this way, God, forgive me as I forgive. Now, when I hear that, I go, ouch, 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 ouch. Because what that means is the way I forgive somebody else who has wronged me is the way I'm asking God to forgive me. So when someone has been just unkind to me, and then I, in turn, am unkind to somebody else, but I hold it against that person who's been unkind to me. Then I say, Lord, forgive me the way I forgive Derek. And then I go, wait a minute, I really haven't forgiven Derek. So the two don't match up. This is actually kind of a dangerous prayer. But Jesus teaches us this the way we should pray, that when you think about somebody that you are something that you want to be forgiven for, you take that same way you navigate that and then tag it on to the way you've forgiven somebody else, and your prayer is, I made a mistake and I dented somebody's car. That would be dear to my heart, so please don't make me practice that forgiveness today. So someone dents my car, and then years later I do something and hurt someone, and I go, God, forgive me for doing this thing as I forgave that person that dented my car. And I go, wait a minute. Kind of still haven't forgiven them. I mean, we got the insurance thing worked out, but it still bugs me that they weren't paying attention. I was telling someone this week that when we were living in Waterloo, and the girls were all with us, and for some reason we had an extra car in the driveway, so we had like six cars in our driveway, two. And I said to them, because I knew this was going to happen, somebody is going to hit somebody's car in this driveway. Somebody is not going to pay attention, and they're going to hit someone's car. And I just want to tell you, girls, because three daughters, one wife, I said, girls, I love you more than the cars. But when that happens, I'm going to have to use all my energy not to be mad at you. I really do love you more than the cars. I do love those cars. And so sure enough, someone was backing up. They were in the second spot. No, I think they were in the first spot. And they thought they had cleared all the spots, and they started to cut it. And they smashed right into the car in the third spot. It wasn't me. I won't say it was Hannah. And she did it so well that she took two doors out in my car. And it was the newest car out of the six cars. And she came in tears, as she rightfully so. She came in just heartbroken. And I let it go. I didn't flip out. I didn't say, I told you this was going to happen. And I really, the only reason I'm bringing it up now, if Hannah, if you're watching, is just because it's a good illustration. I really don't hold it against her because now that's Mariah's car. I don't care if there's a dent in it. No. They got fixed. It got fixed. So anyway. But, it's this idea, forgive as I forgive somebody else. So how many times has somebody, wrecked something you have? And probably once in your life you wrecked something somebody else has. And you hope that they let it go with you, and you hope God forgives you because he knows you really weren't paying attention when you wrecked their thing. It wasn't even an accident. It was an accident because you were being sloppy with your paying attention. And now you want the same forgiveness in another area. How about when someone's been just nasty to you? Super nasty. Jumped all over you. And then, I know this will probably only happen twice in your life, and if you're only 60, it's happened only once. But, and something happens and you jump all over somebody else and you know afterwards it was wrong. Lots of reasons. You were tired. But you were wrong. And it comes time to pray. You pray, God, forgive me as I forgave John for jumping all over me. And then you go, wait a minute. Every time I see John, just seeing him bugs me. So God goes, okay, that's the way I'm going to forgive you. So when we think of Hosanna, God save me now, and we think about forgiveness, we think of back in Jesus' day. We think of maybe the first time we said yes to Christ and entered into a relationship with him, save me. But at least in my life, I need to sing Hosanna often because I need Jesus to continually to save me, not re-save me in a sense, but make it right for my sin. And a lot of my sin can come from holding something against someone. So often we need to pray something like this. We pray, go, please, God, forgive me like that. Hosanna me. Save me. So when I need forgiveness and I realize that I'm not forgiving properly because I have kind of the same grade of thing that I need forgiveness for, and then I'm trying to forgive somebody else, and I haven't forgiven somebody else, I need some grace with that. That's not permission to get by with it, but I need to work through it. So when we sing Hosanna, and we think we're singing Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, and, oh, that's really nice, and I don't know, we grew up in a church where we used to get palms. You just get palms, you know, and someone's talking to me about that. I go, I don't want palms. Well, don't you believe in Palm Sunday, or don't you like that? No, because at least when I was a kid, I used it as a weapon. It's a nice sword, you know, so, you know, I don't want swords all, you know, and you know, when our kids were young, that means they would have all ended up in our car. So don't want that. So, but Hosanna is not just for something back then, it's for today. If you're trying to walk with Christ, you should be regularly saying, God, save me now. Not from the Romans, not from this situation. Sometimes, save me from myself. Save me from the way I kind of don't forgive people. I mean, I say I forgave you because that's the right thing to do. I'm trying to be a good person. Good people forgive, but I really haven't. Because sometimes when I forgive someone, I really ghost them, I avoid them, I give them the silent treatment. That is not forgiveness. Hosanna me. Save me from that. Save me from that kind of forgiveness. When I forgive, but I save what they did to me to use against them at a future date, Hosanna me. Forgive me from that. Help me, God. Save me from that kind of attitude. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've stored things up. I've told you about some things I did when I was a kid. Don't have time to get into them again, but my parents actually didn't hold them against me. And then when I had kids, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The standard is too high here. I want to hold it against you. I want to bring up, don't do that. You know, every time Hannah gets in the car, I say, don't back up and hit my car. Ha, 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 ha. That is what I'm doing. I'm not forgiving. It may sound funny, but it really isn't. Hosanna me. When I forgive, but look forward to them getting theirs, that's not forgiveness. I say, Hosanna me. Save me, God, now from that kind of attitude. So funny. Sometimes I can't remember if I said this in a message or just in a conversation, so bear with me. I remember when the girls got their first apartment, Sarah and Hannah, a little nervous. They're living in their own place. We go up there for dinner. They get the butter out for some bread. And I had a lot of pent-up anger about butter. They would, like, destroy the butter dish at our house. Destroy it. Get toast crumbs in it. Disgusting. Some of you have those people. So what did I do? They pull out this beautiful stick of butter. I mean, it wasn't on the table 5 seconds. I took my fork and went, Doug, what are you doing, Dad? I'm paying you back. You've done that forever. And if you come home someday to your apartment and all the lights are on, it's because I was driving through Rochester, had your key, stopped in, turned all the lights on, and left. Because that's what you did in my house. Amen. Hosanna me, Lord. Hosanna me, please. Get their own. Obviously, we can think about that in much, much worse situations. Somebody's a jerk at work. And they cost you a promotion or cost you your reputation to some degree, and then you can't wait for them to get that same treatment for you. You haven't forgiven them. And it's interesting, you know, we're going to see, you know, Jesus says, forgive them for what they do not know. We see Stephen later on doing the same thing. Those people never asked for forgiveness. So there are some times where you and I will never have that conversation. We just need to let it go and forgive them. And sometimes the forgiveness process is more about me making them feel a little sorry for what they did rather than forgiving them. It's so amazing how messed messed up we can be. You know, oh, you did this to me. And we're kind of like, as we're telling them and we want them to say sorry, we're really trying to like stick the knife in their back a little and making them feel the pain. That's kind of like not what Jesus does to us. I need a lot of forgiveness from Jesus. And he doesn't like stab me in the back and twist it. Fortunately, my wife doesn't do it either, and I need lots of forgiveness for her. Why'd you do that? Why'd you eat that cookie when you weren't supposed to? We've been married 35 years. You know to ask before you take something out of the refrigerator. I'm sure none of you guys ever get that. But anyway, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so there's not a big sticker on the refrigerator. Dave, ask before you, maybe there will be now, but Dave, ask before you eat anything. You know, again, just let it go. When I forgive, but I think through the lens of their sin, of them missing their mark. You see them, and immediately that's what you think of, even though it's you've forgiven them. Lord, hosanna me. And then there are those situations that I just won't forgive. And I'm not talking accept bad behavior. I'm not talking be a doormat. I'm not talking abusive situations. But I will say this, you do have to come to terms with those abusive situations so they don't destroy you inside. So somehow, and I haven't had a lot of those in my life, but I've had some friends that have had people be horrible to them, abusive, even bordering on the sexual stuff, and they have got to release it. And they would say they forgave him. I was working with a guy yesterday, and some things happened, and he said, I just had to let it go. Because I actually asked him, how do you define forgiveness? And this guy's not a Christ follower. He just said, I let it go. So there's that idea about that. Now, where it seems like Jesus is saying, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you, we need to realize that we don't earn our forgiveness, and we don't deserve our forgiveness. So it's not like, boy, I've done so many of these things, so now I've earned God's forgiveness. He gives it to us first. We can't earn it, and we don't get to a place where we deserve it, so we need to understand that. So I love the way the message kind of gives these nuances, like it's supposed to grab our attention in this way. In praying, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God. If you have an unforgiving spirit, that unforgiving spirit gets transferred into just looking at your life. There's some place where you need to forgive yourself. And you are not made to have this tension and it be good for you. So those are in conflict. So there's been times where I've held something against somebody else. And then it could be a completely kind of different situation over here. And then I want forgiveness from this other area. And my soul knows I can't hold this against them over here and then ask for forgiveness over here. I mean, I can ask God to forgive me, but I don't get released from it. And it messes with my relationship with them. Have you ever been nice to somebody, given them, gone the extra mile with them, and then all of a sudden they're in a likewise situation and now they have the resources, whatever those are, to go the extra mile, and they refuse to do it? It bugs you. I was nice to you. I helped you, you know, get a leg up. I helped you move in this direction. Now, you know, I expect you to help somebody else, and then they put the screws to somebody else. There's actually a parable about that. That just messes things up. So if you want a clear conscience with God and conviction, we need to learn to forgive others. It's a learned kind of thing. And every situation's different. At least in my life, I can forgive somebody something really hard, and then somebody does something just a little bit little, and that one really sticks in my heart. I don't know why that is. So it's sometimes not even the intensity, but I need to learn to forgive. You see, Jesus is forcing the issue that Christ followers must be gracious and forgiving people. We have to be that way because we're forgiven. And he wants us to be that. He's like saying, hey, you can't get away with this. If you're really following me, you need to forgive. And this morning, if you're thinking of some area that is just so heavy, and you say, Dave, you don't know my situation, and I don't know your situation. You didn't feel the pain that person put me through. I want to say this. You can get freedom from that. It won't be one conversation. It might be a number of conversations. It might be having some dear friends pray with you, but you can release it. Don't suffer in silence. Find some other Christ follower and say, help me with this. Because Jesus has wired you as a Christ follower to be a forgiving person. So when you're not doing what you're wired to do as a Christ follower, it creates tension in your soul and in your heart. Again, remember Hosanna, we need saving. Now, God, I need rescue, I need salvation from this situation, and I need to be able to let it go and forgive, not holding it against that person, not letting it be an ember that's burning deep within my soul. I need freedom. I cannot be trapped by this. This is about a moment for a little relief. I found this little video of this person trapped, and they needed freedom.
Yeah. Oh. Pick him up.
All right, I'll get you out.
Hold on, I think it's locked.
I think it's locked.
Uh-oh, it's rusted. Closed.
It's locked. All right, you're going to have to back out. Ready?
Jump him out.
Jump him out. Down. Put your feet down on the ground. All right, watch out.
Put my arm.
Oh, look what we caught.
Look at that little girl looking at her brother. Some of us need the Father, our Heavenly Father, just like that little boy, to free us from the things we can't let go because it's trapped us. And some of us have had bad experience with our Father, so even me saying Heavenly Father doesn't sit well with you. But it's possible. It's possible. I encourage you when Fred and Pam are up here to pray with, talk with them, talk with me, talk with someone, and we can at least steer you in a direction, not an easy direction, but a direction so that you are not stuck. And don't do it because you feel like if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Jesus didn't say that. He wants you to have a restored relationship with him, and it just gets in the way. Remember, we can't earn God's forgiveness with our forgiveness. We don't deserve God's forgiveness if we forgive. It's just not how it works. You know, if it's a serious error to not be pursuing forgiveness because the forgiven forgive. I have some things in your outline, your message guide, that talk about what forgiveness is not and what forgiveness is. You can go online and fill out all those blanks for those of you who will leave today being unsatisfied that you didn't have all your blanks filled in. It really bothers you, but I want to go to the last little blank here. It says, Hosea me, God save me from asking for forgiveness in a way that I won't offer it to others. Save me from that. Do your internal work. Change my heart. So save me, Hosanna, I pray now so that I can forgive or ask for forgiveness in a way that's hard for me to offer it to others. God, forgive me as I forgive for how I forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for Hosanna, God save us. That's just not for 2,000 years ago on the dirty streets, dusty streets of Jerusalem, riding a unridden colt. It's for us today. We ask that you would help us, no matter where we're at, to experience your forgiveness and then to offer forgiveness to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.